I mean, speaking of waiting, I know it's been a little bit of a wait for this to happen. So for it to kind of come full circle, now you're here in Laval, in Montreal, that's a nice bow tie on it. Just talk about how you're feeling in this moment and during that speech.
Well, during the speech, I was confused. I was it was an awkward thing. I've always been on the other side of this this event in terms of managing it. But I mean, the most special thing was having my family here and having friends from all the way back when I first started the league in '87 were here as well. So it's all about the people, and you know, you reflect back on a career as. You know, as long as I've had in hockey, and you're grateful to have the opportunity, and you have to be lucky to have all of those things fall in place, from coaching out west to, you know, working with the Oilers for years and then the American League for so long. Like, it was a great ride, and I'm appreciative for it all.
You mentioned the qualities of people here in the AHL. What are some of the specific qualities you've seen, positive qualities you've seen out of these people?
Well, I think all of us, I mean, our players and our staff and our officials and everybody around it, I mean, including you guys probably, I mean, you're at a stage in your career and you have a passion for what you do, and you haven't reached the stage where you take it for granted. And I just have always found that everybody in the league has a certain energy and a certain pride in making sure that the American Hockey League is the American Hockey League, and it's not just the minors or the bus leagues, or that it's something special. And I feel that from everybody around us. And there's a sense of family here that I don't think you can have in the National Hockey League. It's not like a knock on the National Hockey League, but in the American League, we still are able to have a sense of supporting each other and going through this journey together.
Do you think that also helps the players realize who they want to be off the ice as well? I mean, we heard it from Baumgartner today too.
I think it's an important message for the young players to hear from players like Bomber and Keith O'Coyne and Yvon Lambert and others who have been through the journey and gone down that road, to understand what it's about. And the most important message to me was that they should enjoy it, because it doesn't last very long. And in a way, even as old as I am, it doesn't seem like it's lasted very long. Like, now I'm finished, and it's over. And you think, gosh, I hope I made the best of it along the way.
I mean, you've built such a strong foundation for this league from the ground up. You got 32 teams kind of all over the continent. You know, what do you, now kind of as you get the chance to sit back and look back, like, what's been the one big moment that really kind of stand out to you over your career?
I think the most important moment was 2001, when we absorbed the six teams from the IHL, because essentially we eliminated our competition, and which is not supposed to be done in business, but it worked out in a way that was that it allowed us to kind of pursue that dream of being the one league that provided, you know, at the top level development players for the NHL, and it allowed us to move forward with the concept that we would be, back then, a 30-30 league. I mean, that was something that I think people long before I came along thought should be the way minor pro hockey was structured, but no one was in a position to do it. And so we had the chance. I mean, only one of those leagues was going to survive. Both leagues were in trouble. And most people thought it was going to be the other one that survived. And I think we worked so hard and we took so much pride in what we were doing that it worked for us. But I don't think there's a couple of those moments. I mean, moving out west was really important in 2015, because if we were going to keep a 32-32 league or a 30-30 league, we had to satisfy our West Coast partners. And they were not happy with their locations and with the salary cap and the impact of players moving back and forth. And for the development of the game out west, it was important for them to have their own teams out there. So. That was a much more difficult project for a lot of. It was more complicated even than bringing in the IHL teams. Those were the two kind of watershed moments, if you will, during my career. But I kind of like to think back as just a body of work. I mean, you should accomplish something in 26 years in a job. I mean, I suppose if you didn't, you wouldn't still be there. But I think you know, we are just proud of having had a kind of a vision back before we started of what it could be and actually seeing it happen. You know, it doesn't always work that way.
Just talking to people in the business, you know, hockey, there's a culture to not rock the boat, right? In whatever way. And you always were able to maintain that line between being collegial and yet knowing how to be a hard businessman when you had to be. How did you walk that line?
I think you can only walk that line if you develop trust with the stakeholders that you're involved with, and whether that was the Players Association or the owners of our teams or our NHL partners or Gary. In order to make change, there had to be a trust level that there was a likelihood that it was going to work and that you were going to see it through, and a trust level that your motives were the right kind of motives. And I think we were able to do that with our players, and we were able to do it with our owners, and we were able to do it with the NHL, and especially the NHL general managers, because all of their jobs are, they have to think kind of short term because they're on short term contracts, most of them. And so trying to have them think about the long term value of a league that we built and how that league could develop players for all of them, as opposed to just the one-to-one relationship, that there's a systemic value in having a league with this many players who are all, for the most part, pretty high draft picks and so forth, having the opportunity for them to develop. They had to trust that was something that we would get to eventually, and we did. So I think the answer is the first thing, they have to trust you. And so you got to be careful not to ever lose that and betray the trust that people have in you.
How would you describe the relationship with the NHL has evolved during your tenure?
I think the relationship was always good with the NHL. I mean, even back before I started, and our officiating program back in the 80s was not a whole lot different than what it is today. I mean, it was a relationship with the NHL, a business contract. And so the NHL relationship, I think, was always good, and it got better along the way, I think. Gary and I started at pretty close to the same time. He started a little bit ahead of me, and he was always supportive. He would always challenge you. He's a very bright guy, and there weren't any gifts along the way. You earned what you earned the trust that you got, and you earned the opportunities that you got. And I think Bill Daly made a huge difference. Like, Bill is a guy who really understands the full landscape of hockey, and wants it all to be successful and wants it to grow. And I would consider both Gary and Bill as very good friends, and it just all takes time for that, for that to grow that way.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the positives that you've seen from Scott so far since he's taken over from you?
I mean, they're the same positives as to why we hired him, I think. Like, he has great integrity. He's got great leadership ability. He has all those years of experience in the National Hockey League, and he has relationships. Those are the foundation of our league. It will always be those relationships with our NHL partners, and Scott brought those in with him. So we didn't miss a beat in terms of being able to call any general manager in the league or talk to Gary or Bill, because Scott brought that with him. And he's a person of great integrity and honesty. And it's going to take him a little while to establish himself, and especially, I mean, he started at a terrible time to come in as COVID was there, and I mean, I left at a terrible time. That wasn't much fun either. But for both of us, it was a very difficult period of transition. But I've known Scott for 26 or 27 years, so I know who he is, I know what he brings, and he's a good person.
What's next for you?
What's next for me?
Yes.
I have a pickleball match on on Wednesday in Tucson, Arizona.
Nice. Perfect place to go warm up.
I hope to stay involved in the periphery of the league and help Scott wherever needed. And I'm still active with the Hockey Canada Foundation, and I'm active with, actually, I talk to different leagues all the time. I have, when you're in it as long as I have been, I know all the commissioners of all the junior leagues and the president of USA Hockey. And people call from time to time with thoughts and questions and ideas. And so it's pretty fun because I'm not completely out of it. I think it would be hard to be kind of cold turkey. Nobody calls you anymore. You have nobody to talk to. And that happens to people in retirement. And I'm hoping to just kind of keep that, some connection going.
I pull your leg, Dave.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations.